fun. Now the show has begun.
Here's Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from
me. Well, listeners, this is the last show of the present season. No hoorays. After tonight, we say goodbye for the time being. It's sad, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know, Jim. It gives the cast an opportunity to take an early summer holiday. Think of it, Jim. June in the south of France.
You going to the south of France?
No, but June is. I'm going to Bexhill. I'm taking a house there.
Brick by brick?
I'm renting a house.
Oh, is it?
Yes, I don't fancy a hectic holiday this year. I just want to take it easy. All I want is a bit of sun so I can lie about the garden.
Well, it'll make a change from lying about your age, won't it, eh? So we'll pass the funnies and let's get straight on with the customary end-of-series feature, the Tyfe Film Festival. In this, listeners, we revive an item which you, our masters, have asked to hear again.
Now, the item which your letters have asked us to revive is a story of backstage life, a story which tears aside the empty glamour and tarnished tinsel of show business. The story of two brothers who made up the front half and the back half of a pantomime horse.
The scene is the Palace Theatre, Burbridge on Tyne. The packed house is staring stolidly at this year's pantomime. It is a very inexpensive production, Ali Baba and the Nine Thieves. In the wings, the lovable pantomime horse Dobbin is waiting to go on. Inside it are the Withers brothers, Sid and Jim. From within the front of the horse comes an urgent voice.
Sid! What is it?
Nothing. Just wanted to check that you're there behind me.
I'm here.
Righto, Sid. You are facing the same way as me, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Why?
I just don't want a repetition of what happened in Barnsley. The two of us galloping in opposite directions. You decided... Sid!
Now what?
What are you doing back there?
Eating peanuts. Any objection?
No. Just wondering what you're going to do with the shells. Hello. Hello, it's getting near our cue. Sid, we're on. Give him a nice big smile.
How can I give him a smile?
Well, do the best you can. Now, stand by. Rosie's just going to give us our cue.
But stay. Who's this coming through the gorse? Tis Dobbin, my best friend, an horse. Come on, Dobbin. Now bow to all the boys and girls in the audience. Oh, they're lovely. Now to show how happy you are, let's see you waggle your tail. Let's see you waggle your tail. Waggle your tail, Dobbin.
Sid.
What?
Wake up at the back there. Get that tail waggling.
Can't.
Why not?
I broke me waggler.
Broken your waggler? Rosie, he's broken his waggler.
Oh, well, don't worry, Jim, I'll skip that bit.
Oh, well. Never mind then, Dobbin. Come and show me how much you love me. Nuzzle your head against mine. Ah.
Sorry about the waggler, Rosie.
Never mind. That's show business.
Oh, you dear old Dobbin, you.
What's up with Sid tonight?
We're not seeing eye to eye at the moment. He's in one of his moods. Any minute he might...
What's the matter, Jim?
Oh, ring down the curtain. I'm in agony. Ring down the curtain. Sid, don't sit. I can't stand it.
Sid, whatever made you do it?
I don't know. I was bored, so I lit up a cigarette.
Oh, see it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. I see now it was perhaps thoughtless. Is it still painful?
Well, it's not so bad now while I'm sitting in the basin.
Sid, I want to talk to you, Sid. I'm worried about you, Sid. Your whole attitude to your career has become, well, yes, I shall say it, Sid, superficial.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do, Sid. Going to bed with your hooves on. Not taking proper care of your waggler. Being rude to the lady contortionist.
She's just a troublemaker, that one.
On the contrary, Sid. She leans over backwards to do the right thing. Sid, what's up with you?
What's up with me? All right, you ask for it, I'll tell you. I'm fed up. Fed up to the back legs. You may as well know, Jim, I'm sick and tired of being the rear end of a horse.
Sid, I never realised.
Look at me. I'm good looking, I've had a decent education. I'm not scared of responsibility. I want to make something of my life.
Well, what do you want to be?
The front end of the horse.
Well, Sid, I never knew you felt like that. After all, we did toss for ends.
Oh, I don't care. You're the one who gets all the glamour, the applause, and look at you last week. 14 proposals of marriage you had.
But only from horses, Sid.
Well, it doesn't matter. Either you agree to change places or I'm walking out of the act. Now, think that over.
Sid, no, come back. Sid, you can't walk out like that. Sid, don't leave me. Sid, I'm stuck in the basin.
Jim, what's up with Sid? He's just cantered past me with a face like thunder.
Oh, Rose, I'm so pleased you came in. You'll pardon me for not getting up. Rosie, he's mutinied.
Sid?
Yes, he says either he takes over the front end or he's walking out. Oh, Rosie, he's so hot-headed.
Oh, quite the reverse from you, Jim.
Yes. Which reminds me, pour some more cold water in the basin, will you, dear?
All right.
Oh, that's better. Rosie, what am I going to do?
Well, if you're the front end, you stay the front end. Why should Sid expect you to swap places? It's like rabbits ordering Landauer to let him do the twiddly bits.
Rabbits and Landauer are no comparison, dear. It's different with jugglers.
I know, but the principle's just the same. Oh, Jim, if Sid wants to walk out, let him.
But, Rosie, I daren't. It'd mean I'd have to do both ends of the horse by myself. And that would tax the resources even of Sir Lawrence Olivia.
Here, that's Sid coming back now. Now, Jim, you tell him.
Well, Jim?
Oh, Sid, won't you reconsider? It's been a good life we've had together inside the old Dobbin skin. I mean, in winter, pantomime, and every summer racing for Jack Hilton.
Oh. If that's your only answer, it's goodbye, Jim.
You mean you...
I'm tired of taking a back seat. Goodbye.
That night, Dobbin went on, but only half full. Oh, Jim tried hard, but with all that amount of empty horse dragging round the stage behind him, well, inevitably, some of the illusion was lost. By his third entrance, the audience were beginning to get a bit restive and remarks could be overheard.
Hey, you lost your rear gunner.
By the second half, I was desperate. I hung a sign on the empty hind quarters. Staff wanted, apply within. When there were no applicants by scene 8, I just dreaded having to go on again.
Who's this coming through the gorse? Tis Dobbin, my best friend and horse. Come on, Dobbin.
They're throwing things. Get the manager. Get the RSPCA.
No. Wait. Look, they've gone silent.
They're applauding now. Why?
Jim, your tail. It's waggling.
My tail wagging? It can't be. There's nobody to waggle it no more.
Oh, there must be. Oh, Jim, don't you understand? It's Sid. He's come back.
Sid, come back? Sid, where are you?
Look over your shoulder.
Sid!
I'm a-walking behind.
What is this thing called love? This funny
solve this mystery. Why should it make a fool of me? I saw you there.
Yes, I want to know him, yes.
Well, when he was in here with you last night, he spent the whole evening just staring at that sign on my counter.
What, you mean the sign that says, ring the bell for the barman? Yes, he asked me about that.
What did he ask?
He says, why can't the barman ring the bell himself? Of course, that's typical of my Ron, yes. You see, Ted. It's not that he's dim. He's not dim now. He's just... Well, he's like blotting paper.
Why blotting paper?
Well, he soaks everything up all right, but he gets it all the wrong way round. Talking about soaking up, I'll have a brown if I may.
Yeah.
Here. Now, take that crisis what cropped up between Ron and Eth last Friday.
Oh.
When I say crisis, Ted, I mean it was a real crisis.
What's
especially
that?
As far as Eth was concerned.
Seems to have got so much worse these last few weeks. Somehow I just can't seem to get you out of my mind day or night. You've become a sort of ache. Know what I mean, Ron?
Yes, Eth. We had it for supper.
Oh, not ache, beloved.
Not ache.
No.
No.
Well, you know, it's the romantic side of us. It's the kissing and the... Well, you know, well... Perhaps it's only the warmer weather, but... I'm just all of a... Hold, Ron. Hold me. Hold me, precious.
Hold your precious what?
Your arms round me, beloved. Both arms. Oh, Ron.
Oh, yes.
Oh, beloved, I know you feel the same way. You've never held your arms quite so tight round me. Whisper to me why.
I'm trying to do at me wristwatch stretch.
Goodness, one of us can retain some vestige of self-control. Oh, Ron, Barney, it just isn't natural for hot-blooded people like you and me to remain unmarried indefinitely. Oh, my dear heart, if you only knew how much I yearn.
I do it, but it isn't enough to support both of us.
That's your father coming out.
Well, it's about time. Ethie's been in there for half an hour.
Ron, I'm not talking about the pub.
Oh.
Don't you see? Don't you see, beloved? If money is the only reason he's stopping us getting married, it's not a strong enough objection. And if he can't see that, then, well, I think we should put the bands up willy-nilly.
Why bring strangers into what is...
No, Ron. Willy-nilly is an expression. It means, let's do it anyway.
Ah.
Are we agreed, Ron?
Yes, Eff.
And you'll tell your father so?
If you like, Eff.
Oh, right. Well, now we'll have to get down to the necessary detail work.
Righto, Eff.
Oh, no, Ron, I didn't mean that.
Go on, Eff, just a kiss.
No, Ron, no, not now. I've cooled down now.
Well, never mind, Eff, willy-nilly, Eff, willy-nilly. Hey? Let's do it anyway. Go on.
Ron, you don't have it, Dave.
I do.
I didn't mean that.
Them glucose tablets are doing Ron a power of good. All right, break clean. Ron, if you've gone in the tool shed and taken the hedge clippers, you're a bad boy. Your mum wants to do her eyebrows.
Well, the man from next door came and took the clippers back.
Well, then she'll just have to pluck them. I'll take her the pliers. Of course, she ain't half taken to doodling herself up lately. Ever since she started going off of an evening to this ladies' handicraft class.
Oh, ladies' handicraft class?
Yes, that's where she takes herself 3 times a week now. She says it gives her an interest. She told me last night she's trying to make herself a bag. Of course, I forced back the repartee what sprang to my lips. I mean, one has to be tactful sometimes. You wait till you're married.
Just what we're spending the best years of our youth doing, Mr. Glum.
Aye?
Waiting till we're married. Ron and I have talked the matter over again very fully, and... Ron, tell your father.
Tell him what, eh?
No, say your piece.
Oh. The owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful daydream.
No, what? About us.
Oh, yes. Look, Dad... Why won't you let me get married? Is it simply for financial reasons? Or has it got something to do with money?
Because, Mr. Glum, if it is just money, we no longer accept that as sufficient objection. We'll manage somehow. Love will find a way.
Eyewash!
I beg your pardon?
I said eyewash!
Not very often, Dad and Peter.
Alan!
Alan! What?
Don't you come saucy, my boy. That's enough from you. Now, look here. Let us please not peruse the subject anymore. My reason why I am loath to let my son get married is not just money. It's also... Well, I'd rather not discuss it in front of R-O-N-A-L-D.
R-O-N-A-L-D. Honest, Dad, you do treat me like a child sometimes. Do you think I don't know what R-O-N-A-L-D is?
What is it, then?
It's spelling.
Mr. Glum, you can't just toss the subject aside like that. You've got to give us your reason.
Well, what is it then? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to tell you?
Well, I just want to know what your reason is.
All right, Ethel, I can see that I shall have to say it because I'm not sure whether Ron really loves you.
Ron, did you hear that? Your father said you don't really love me.
No, Ed, please, no, Mum. May you be forgiven. Don't put words in my mouth that I didn't say.
But you did.
I can repeat my exact statement verboten. I can. I said I wasn't sure. You see, Ed, this is the knob of the matter. Not only are you the first girl Ron ever went with, you're the only girl he's ever been with. Now do you see my dilemma? Is it love, or is it he just don't know any better?
Well, I think that's the most awful. It's been engaged to me for 7 years. And every single night of that 7 years, all he's wanted on that sofa is me. So if he doesn't love me, I'd like to know who does.
Rowland.
Eh?
That's what R-O-L-A-N-D spells. I've been quietly working it out.
Well, just quietly work it back in again.
Did you say? Yeah.
Now, look here. Let's get this straight now. You're the only girl that's ever been in his life.
Yes.
Supposing now, even after 7 years, he got pally with someone who's quite different from you.
How do you mean, different?
Well, the direct opposite of what you are.
A boy.
You're not helping. No, no.
Sorry, Dad.
I mean, not a girl who's quiet and homely and nicely behaved. Someone interesting. No offence. Some flighty piece. One of them waggly hip creatures, all tinted nylons and life is meant to be lived.
It wouldn't make any difference at all.
No. If I could feel sure of that, Ed, I'd let Ron be married tomorrow.
Do you mean that, Mr. Glum? Do you really mean that if Ron could meet other types of girls and still come back to me, you withdraw all your objections?
I mean every word. If I saw that happen, I'd arrange the wedding. I'd tack a bit of carpet on the spare room floor for you. I might even move me pigeons out of there.
In that case, we're going to send Ron out tonight to somewhere where he can meet that sort of girl. Somewhere like, the Arcady Pally to ballroom dancing.
What? That converted nissen up back of the pin table arcade? The one they call the Passion Pit?
Yes.
Oh, Ed, that's carrying temptation a bit too far. I don't think Ron would like visiting a place like that, would you, Ron?
No, Dad.
Then what are you putting your hat and coat on for, then?
I'm getting married tomorrow.
You see, he's as sure of his love as I am. Now, Ron, listen.
Yes?
When you meet these girls, I want you to go out of your way to pal up with one.
Alice.
Spend the whole evening with her.
Now, steady. Now, you don't know the sort of girls they get at the Arcady. It's like asking a lettuce to pal up with a rabbit.
That, Mr. Glum, is your view.
Of course it is.
I have no doubt in my heart that Ron will come back loving me more than ever.
Oh, dear, Eth, I'm beginning to regret I ever brought this up. Now, listen, Ron. Listen. Ron, wake up. Open your eyes. Listen.
Yeah, your dad.
Listen to me carefully.
Yeah.
Them girls at the Arcady, they're of a very, very warm and affectionate nature. How shall I... When you dance with them, you'll find they dance very, very close. And they put their cheek right against yourn. They sort of snuggle. Very tight. Very disturbing. Here, give me me cap. I'm coming with you.
So he went off on his own, eh?
You'll have to have that throat sprayed, yeah. Ted, yes. Yes, Ted, he went completely on his... Talking about that, give us another brown.
Oh, yes.
He went off with his head held high and his dancing shoes in a brown paper bag.
Yeah.
Like Sir Lancelot riding forth to prove his love for the beautiful Lady Givenchy.
You know, for F to purposely send her fiancé off to a place like the Arcady. Oh, she must have been really sure of him.
She was, Ted. Mind you, when 11:15 arrived and he wasn't back, she wasn't quite so sure.
Nah.
By 11:45, she had definite doubts. And by 12:15...
Mr. Glum, what a fool I've been. Ron's only human. Oh, I can just see what's happened. He's met some dyed blonde with her own flat and she's invited him back for a drink. What chance has Ron got?
Well, from the sound of it, a very good chance.
Oh, look out of the window again. See if you can spot him coming round the corner.
I can't see that far. The street lamps have gone out and you don't... Wait a minute. There is someone coming. It's Ron. Eh, switch that light out so they won't see us.
They?
Well, if he's got someone with him.
A female?
Well, it's so dark I wouldn't swear to it. But it's either a female or an Argyle and Sutherland Islander. Oh, dear, look.
What?
They're jiving together around the pillar box. They've both got carnival hats on.
But he can't be bringing her in here. He can't.
Yeah, I'll get away from the window or they'll spot me. Now, listen.
He brings her in this room to our bit of sofa.
Shh, shh, shh. I think everybody's asleep. We'd better tiptoe.
He is bringing her in here.
Shh, listen.
Mr. Glum!
They're going upstairs. That I am not having in this house. Run! Come here!
Hello, Eth. Oh, Eth, fancy us getting married tomorrow. I can't wait.
So I noticed.
Eh?
If you think I'd marry you now, you've got another think coming. I never want to see you again. Goodbye, Ron Glum. Forever!
Dad?
Yes?
Eth struck me as being upset about something.
And I should think so too, you shameless creature. Listen to me, Ron. What is that woman you met at the dance hall doing upstairs?
She's getting into your bed.
Into my... Ron, you don't mean she...
Yes, Dad?
I'll give her Ladies' Handicraft Guild. Eth, come back! That's no woman, it's Mrs. Glum! Come back! Eth! Well, thank you very much, said he, assuming his own voice rather brilliantly. Well, whether Eth comes back or not, you'll have to wait till the next series to find out. Until then, Bentley, would you like to give them our farewell message?
Oh, certainly, old man. Well, listeners, Jim and I just want to say thank you for having us. We've thoroughly enjoyed it, and next time, you must come round to our place. Bye-bye for now.
Goodbye, all! Bye-bye.
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show, the last in the present series, to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes. Incidental music was composed and arranged by Peter Acaster. The Keynotes arrangements were by Johnny Johnson and Frank Barber. Your announcer was John Hobday. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the scripts, and the series was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all say au revoir until the next time we invite you to...
Take it.